Good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio, and opening up tonight at the East Bank Theater in Bossier City, the River City Repertory Theater presents Venus in Fur, a play by David Ives. And joining me now in our Knoll Foundation studios are Patrick McWilliams and Charity Schubert to fill us in on this funny and somewhat spicy production. Patrick and Charity, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Good
so morning. this is a little bit spicier than maybe we're used to here in good old Mid-America, but it's not necessarily a play that folks need to be afraid of. There's actually a lot of humor in this and a lot of things that people can relate to. I wanted to start off because this is drawing from an actual novel in 1870 called Venus in Fur. And can either of you fill us in on what that novel was about and the author and what their background was and how this plays out in the 21st century?
I will bow to Charity. Both of us have trudged through the book, which is wonderful reading, thick reading, but she has been obsessive in studying it, so... Charity.
Well, Venus in Fur was written by Leopold von Sacher Masoch, and it's basically the story of, there's a framing device, a story of a man who to whom Venus appears one night, and they have a philosophical discussion about love and the battle of the sexes, age-old raging battle. And he goes to Severin, who is a man who's had these experiences, and he gives him his diary and lets him read sort of the story of his journey into masochism. And it's the story of his love affair with a woman by the name of Vanda Vondanayev and their sadomasochistic relationship and how it unfolds.
And this is actually part of a larger work. He was trying to actually write a series called The Legacy of Cain, which kind of comes out of that biblical tale. And Cain, of course, kills Abel. And so the inhumanity of one part of human race to the other.
And Venus in Fur was actually the best known of his various smaller sort of novellas that he wrote as part of that. It's considered his best work, his best writing. A lot of his other writing isn't as highly regarded.
And I think it's the only one that's still being published, isn't
it?
The one that really kind of drew people out. Now, in this play, this is actually a play about a play or about a casting of a play. Can you fill us in on the characters? We'll go with you, Patrick. Tell us about Thomas Novacek's character.
Thomas is a director who has adapted this novel into a stage play, and he's holding auditions for it and has had a miserable day of horrible auditions where people came in completely not appropriate for the role. And it's really sort of at the end of the day, and he's closing it down, and in burst Charity's character to audition for the play. At first, she sort of puts forth that she doesn't know anything about it, that she's just been scheduled to audition. But as the play begins to reveal, she's been studying it, knowing it, and she brings something otherworldly to the situation. And it opens his eyes to what he's looking for. And then there's that element that he's not quite sure what's coming at him. And that's part of one of the twists of the play that, well, you just have to come and see it to know what we're talking about.
So there might be some tables turned and other interesting things happening, as he is the director, therefore the master in the situation.
Right. But and that's what's so great about the play, because in the beginning he has all the power because he's the director, he's casting. And as the play goes on, the power balance begins to change. And that's the interesting thing about the play. And it's so beautifully constructed and written. And you just see those steps turning as the play goes on.
So Logan Sledge is going to be the local actor who plays that role, correct?
Correct.
Can you give us some background on Logan?
Yeah, Logan is a professional Actors Equity actor living here, born and raised in Shreveport. He went off to California, did his thing at University of California, Fullerton. then has now come back here. He's been in a number of River City Rep shows, and he sort of fulfills the mission of what we're trying to do, which is give employment to professional actors who can be paid and make money and stay in the Shreveport-Bossier area and not be forced to flee here so that they can make a living.
Right. And your character is the one that kind of turns the table. So how does your character go about flipping the script, so to speak, on this director who's all powerful and yet not quite powerful in the end?
Well, Vonda has a whole bag of tricks, all sorts of tactics to manipulate the situation. One of her most effective is simply playing dumb. She comes in and you think that she's this sort of ditzy, dingy, off-the-wall, crazed woman. And as the play progresses, you find out that that might not be entirely true. She uses smarts. She uses sex appeal. She uses raw power. And she manages to work herself into a variety of positions to kind of help control the situation and have things go her way.
Do you think that kind of what Vonda is doing is demonstrating that what men think they want, they really don't want in a way?
Vonda is doing an excellent job of opening up Thomas's eyes to what he really truly wants and needs and what is in his best interest in the long run.
So in this play, when you come in, he's thinking, oh, gee, another kind of lame audition. In the end, obviously, you are the person for that. What is your process or Vonda's process of convincing him that, in fact, not only are you the right character for the role, but you actually understand the role in depth?
I think her process is basically sheer talent of just simply doing well in the execution of it and also taking power and manipulating him outside of the play. It's essentially, in a lot of ways, a play within a play, but also telling him what he wants to hear and presenting herself as the right person and giving ideas and helping feed his creative process and sort of pump up his ego in a lot of ways, which is a very effective way to get what you want in many situations in life.
And David Ives, the playwright, again, structures it so beautifully because he has this long opening scene where she comes in and she's so discombobulated and sort of overwrought and just crazed. And then all of a sudden there's this moment, snap, where she goes into the audition and it's just like instantly another person. And it's so interesting to watch the levels. David Ives is known in his plays that nothing is ever just one level. There are like three or four or five levels working at all times. And this play is a beautiful example of his work.
What new insights does the director then come away with about not only the novella, but the play and himself as he exits this storyline? I mean, he walks away with a whole different kind of viewpoint, doesn't he?
He's so hugely changed by the end of the show because she's opened up viewpoints that he has had inside of him, but he's just not been brave enough to face. And that's, again, sort of one of the secrets of the show. But he has written this play, and it's all of these roiling emotions inside of him. And then she opens up and gives him the permission to actually address them and embrace them.
I think that he definitely walks away with newfound respect. Respect for himself, who he is, what he needs, and also, more broadly, respect for women and feminine power.
And also the ability of the right woman maybe to completely change over his world.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So that's that sexual power, that tension that goes on, you know, in most relationships in one way or the other. So one of the things that Vonda seems to do as she enters Thomas's world is she literally portrays every inadequacy that he's been lamenting, or so he thinks. And he gets his eyes opened about what maybe he's not seeing in the people that are coming into his audition, because he's so narrowly focused, it seems like, that he's only seen what he wants to see. And then all of a sudden, Vonda comes in and blows his mind and turns out to be the right person to the character.
Absolutely. One of the things that she does is she shows him everything he despises in actresses coming in and just, you know, on the turn of a dime, she turns around and shows him everything that he wants, and it's the same person. And one of my favorite lines in the show, when he's sort of in the process of rejecting her early on, is she says, "How do you know who I am or what I can do?" before he even allows her to read. Right. And so it really is a case of don't judge a book by a cover.
Mm-hmm. Or don't invent the cover in your own mind and then apply it to the books that come in.
Absolutely. You know,
let people be who they are. And maybe that's kind of like the moral underpinning of this, is you never know who you're actually with until you clear your mind of all your preconceptions and allow them to be whoever they're supposed to be.
You never know who you are until you clear your mind of your own preconceptions about yourself.
Exactly.
And again, he has this opening monologue. The show opens with him on a cell phone talking to his fiance and railing against all of the actresses that he has seen all day. And it's just one judgment after the next, after the next. So I think a huge lesson of the play is about judgment. And it is just beautifully set up again by the playwright.
Yeah, and how sometimes we close out possibilities because of our narrow conceptions or our limited perspectives.
So. Mm-hmm.
Given the subtitle, A Kinky Comedy, can you kind of comment on that?
The show is funny and there is nothing offensive in the show. There is profanity. It has a very contemporary ear in the way that the characters speak. And it does delve into the world of power and submission and dominance. But there's nothing in the play. I mean, you sit back and watch it and you laugh and have a good time while you're watching something that really is quite serious and deep, but it's not offensive.
It seems to me that it comes across more about not just the physical, it's the mental stuff that goes on between people and the power games that go on between the words that we speak.
Yeah. And in doing research, people into S&M will tell you that it is 99% mental and 1% the action, which people looking in from the outside don't understand that.
Right.
They just see the action.
The majority of the strong sensuality in the play, for me, from my point of view, is far more verbal than anything physical that we do on stage. And that's where the real power and the oomph lies, is in the verbal.
So now, how are you staging this? Is this going to be a fairly elaborate set? Is it a fairly sparse set? What can folks expect from the visuals?
The setting, which is being done by Jim Hayes, one of our great people here in the Shreveport-Bossier area. It's a rehearsal hall in an old warehouse that has been turned into like sort of a dance rehearsal place. So you kind of get this seedy element of a warehouse. And it is actually quite elaborate, with warehouse windows overlooking a row of New York houses and buildings and all of that. He always comes up with amazing detailed things. So visually, I think it'll be fun for people. A big storm is going on through the play. So lots of lightning and thunder and rain and all of that going on.
Tell us about the show dates and where folks can get tickets.
Right. We open tonight, May 8th, and we run through Sunday, the 11th. All performances are at 7:30. The performance on the 11th is at 3 o'clock. You can get tickets by calling 318-868-5888, or you can get them online if you choose to do that at brownpapertickets.com.
Either of you have any final thoughts you want to share with listeners?
I'm just so thrilled to be back in Shreveport doing a show. I actually lived here for 14 years and just had my one-year anniversary of living in New York City for 5 years on May 1st. And I'm absolutely delighted to be coming back working with River City Rep. This is my fourth show with them. And it's been such an asset to me, because before I moved to New York to pursue a career as an actress, I actually did 3 shows with Patrick here. And so I left and arrived in New York City with 3 professional credits on my resume. And it's always such a pleasure. Patrick is a fantastic director. The production quality is always so high. And it's also just great to be back home in Shreveport with my friends and my mom and family here.
Any final thoughts, Patrick?
I think that this show it embodies the mission that River City Rep is doing, which is bringing contemporary adult theater to the Shreveport-Bossier area. We want to bring the things that maybe some other theaters can't do. And this show just was on Broadway 2 years ago. So it's very new and a lot of productions of it being done across the country. And it embodies what we want to do. We want to do fun, challenging, contemporary theater that makes you think and have fun also in an evening.
All right. I want to thank both of you for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Patrick McWilliams and Charity Schubert from the River City Repertory Theater, who joined me in our Knoll Foundation studios today to talk about a new production of Venus in Fur, a play by David Ives, which opens tonight at the East Bank Theater in Bossier City. If you'd like more information, you can visit the River City Repertory Theater online at rivercityrep.org, or you can call them at 318-868-5888. That's 318-868-5888. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.